Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Drop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we are in the Maldives with Explore Ventures on the Carpe Vita Liveaboard adventure. I got to tell you, this is really diving at its best. I was told this would be like the Galapagos with warm water, and so far, so good. Definitely has lived up to the expectations and probably exceeded them in many ways, especially on the warm water. It's been hovering around 82, 83 degrees. Tony doesn't agree with me on that, but I got to tell you, Tony, if you had been with me in the Galapagos, you would think you were in hell. You know what I'm saying? It's that hot. It's so much better as far as the water temp. Now, there's warmer times of the year that you can go to the Galapagos maybe and not feel as warm water wussed out like I was. However, this is good temperature for me. I haven't even put on a wetsuit, so I'm good with it, but it's still a little cool for you, right?
It's very cool for me. I'm absolutely freezing. And, I mean, right now at home for me, it's 87 degrees in the water. I can dive in a bikini all day long. Here, I definitely need my 5 mil.
Yes, but, you know, 82, 83 degrees, that's still quite warm water for most people. Most people are wearing 3 mils or something like that, but it's fine, but it's very comfortable. I haven't been wearing a wetsuit at all and haven't been getting chilled, maybe slightly on the end of a night dive, but that was the only time where I ever thought, well, maybe I could use a little bit of skin protection in that regard. But beyond that, it's just spectacular diving. The schools of fish, I've never seen so many fish in my life, and that includes the time when I was in the Galapagos. So the Maldives definitely living up to the expectations of myself, and I know a lot of the crew that we've already talked to, or the passengers, and the crew. It's going to be interesting to see what their perspective is. We're going to get those guys on here in just a bit. But first, we have Chris and Heather from Washington, D.C. with us. And I wanted to talk to them because we've been kind of palling around with these folks. I think we've bonded, haven't we, with this couple there, Tony?
Well, I think so. Heather was the first person that talked to me when I got on board the boat to head back from the airport. So.
Yes. Well, first, if you're first, you win, right? You're number one, Heather. Yeah, is that a good thing or you feel cursed now?
It's been a little bit of a mixed bag.
Well, welcome to Scuba Radio. Okay, so here's the deal. You guys have been palling around with us in our subgroup here on the Liveaboard. I'd say there's about, 20 people on board. They're about 18, 20 people diving, and they split them up into three groups. And so Heather and Chris have been in our pod of divers with Mermaid Tony and myself, and they've been very good divers and easy to dive with. And Chris, I know you're taking a lot of pictures. You're having a lot of fun in that regard, and you've dove quite a bit around the world, haven't you?
I have dove quite a bit. I've been a diver about 10 years now, and a year ago I got certified as an instructor in Bali in Indonesia. So, and I've done probably 750 dives or so. Pacific, Atlantic, Caribbean, all over the place.
So you have some skills when it comes to underwater. It's very, even without knowing that, you can see that in the way he operates underwater with his gear and just how they prepare for their diving. The fact that he put on his light strobes backwards. Even the best of us make a mistake sometime, right, Chris?
Yeah, that's right. I just wasn't awake this morning. I put the strobe arms backwards so the handles were facing the wrong way. But you know what? Did the full dive, shot some great pictures of a turtle and Mermaid Tony staring at the turtle. So made it work for me.
Yeah, so is that what you have found to be the most appealing thing to find underwater so far, or what? The turtles?
Yeah, I think the turtles have been great, and so have been the pelagic fish feeding on the schools of reef fish. So we've seen a lot of dog-tooth tuna. We've seen a lot of big jacks or trevally, I guess they call them here. And, just some amazing feeding frenzies down on the reef.
Now, you mentioned that you've been to Bali and some more exotic places. I haven't been to those areas of the world. How does that compare from your dive experience to what we're seeing here in the Maldives?
So I think it's safe to say it's different. I mean, the diving in Bali tends to be a little more, well, it's all over the place, but there's muck diving and looking in and for little critters and things, and real sort of current drift diving. Some of that's similar. You get the current and the kind of drift along the wall looking for pelagics. I think here you actually probably have more fish life. There you probably have a little more coral life.
So the muck diving you're talking about, would that apply to these mantis shrimp that everybody keeps seeing, or what?
Yeah, muck diving, mantis shrimp, ghost pipefish, what else? You get all sorts of crabs and shrimps and shrimp gobies.
We're seeing those here in the Maldives. I've just got a little glimpse of the mantis shrimp, and then I've seen him tucked back in his hole. I haven't had a situation where I got one out of the hole yet, but I did have one of those gobies with the little crab symbiotic relationship type of thing going on, where the goby's popping out of the hole, and then this crab comes out and shoots out some dirt and cleans the house, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, the goby guards the hole, and the shrimp cleans it. So it's a good partnership between those two.
Absolutely. So what about you, Heather? What are you seeing here in the Maldives that has stood out in your mind as, wow, this is one I'm not going to forget anytime soon?
Yeah, actually, the dive that we just did right before lunch was pretty good. I was a little bit apprehensive coming to Maldives because everyone said, oh, ever since El Nino, there's been a lot of coral bleaching. The Maldives isn't as good as it used to be. And so I was anxious, to come and see what it all looked like. And then I don't remember the name of the site we just did, unfortunately. But there was a lot. It was just amazing. Like the soft corals, I mean, they're definitely there. It was an amazing array of colors. I was actually shocked at the amount. I mean, it rivals, I think, diving in Fiji and the White Wall, Somo Somo. And I think that it's, in another year or two, it's going to, be right up there. Definitely a competitor. Great site. Absolutely beautiful. The most gorgeous dive we've done thus far.
Yeah, and I know Tony came up from that dive saying the same thing, trying to rub it into me because I was working. I was working during that last dive and had to, I had priorities. So I had to work on Scuba Radio, right?
You're sleeping.
That is in a way, that's working. That's preparing for the show. I have to be rested. This takes a lot of energy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, that's what we do. The thing is, if you skip a dive, what's the big deal? You're on a liverboard, right? I mean, that's, you're relaxed, you go at your own pace, you dive as much or as little as you want, and that's what you can do.
But the problem is the sites are also different, and we keep moving in between sites, so you never know what you're going to see. You never know which site it's going to be that you get the whale sharks and the mantas or the amazing soft coral. So from dive to dive, you want to go on them all.
Yeah, you do, and you're right. You never know. It's the luck of the draw. If you do skip a dive, you run the risk. What's so funny, Heather? What did I miss?
There's something it looks like. I don't know if it came off our boat or whatever. It looks like a floating cooler, but
oops. Yeah.
Has identified it as the infamous box.
There better not be the infamous box fish. Yeah, there better not be any beer in there. It costs a lot.
Your dive kit. You should go get that.
Well, no, it better not. If there's beer in it, it's my dive kit. It's my after dive kit. But I got that stored and locked under in the cabin here on the Carpi Vita liveaboard. But it is an amazing adventure that we're having. The scenery here off the liveaboard boat is some of the best I have ever had. Period. And all the liveaboards or land-based operations we're seeing. We're looking at off the boat right now, this little small island, and there must be hundreds of these things scattered throughout the Maldives. I just didn't realize this, and they got those little beret accommodations with sticks out over the water. It almost makes you want to go over there and check it out. Right, Tony?
Yeah, it would be a great swim. And everything, I mean, the watercolor, it's kind of like that Bahamas blue, if anyone knows what I'm talking about. It's that crystal turquoise. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, and you guys are actually mixing it up. You're going to do a little land-based thing after this, right?
Yeah, next week we're going to stay on a land-based resort, Overwater Villa, and looking forward to snorkeling off the house reef and taking pictures of stingrays and stuff in the sand.
Yeah. Well, there's so much to do here in the Maldives. I think as far as this being our first adventure in the area, I think we definitely picked the right way to go with this liveaboard. Don't you think, Tony?
I think we did. And, you know, right now we're actually moving on our way to go hunt for whale sharks. Not hunt, but go look for whale sharks.
Yeah, we're going to find them and get in the water and hopefully snorkel with them if we can find them. But that's the trick. You just cruise, and evidently there's an area where, you know, you can find whale sharks. And I don't know if this is a breeding ground for them, like, you know, how Nikolai found the cuttlefish, and that's why they congregate in this area. But supposedly there's an area here in the Maldives where they have whale sharks, and you're going to hear all about it, hopefully next, as well as some of the crew here from the Carpe Vita Liveaboard in the Maldives. It's all coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
She is home to the oldest protected rainforest in the Western Hemisphere, the largest brain coral in the world, and she's considered the true jewel of the Caribbean Sea. Her sparkle will live in your memory long after you have left her shores. Tobago is her name, and she is now calling for you. Pristine coral reefs teeming with rich marine life are just the beginning. Find out why this is so in Tobago by going to visittobago.gov.tt. That's visittobago.gov.tt.
Scuba, 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 ooba, scuba, dooba, ooba, hava, scuba.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master here in the Maldives with Mermaid Tony. And you know, when you're on a liveaboard adventure like this, one of the cool things to do is not only to bond with the passengers, but with the crew. And you know, Tony works as a dive instructor in the Florida Keys. And when you see these crew members work these boats, I know you. It goes through your mind like, hey, maybe this is a career path I should choose, right?
Well, I did think about that, especially with the Turks and Caicos boat, but mostly I'm just thinking that I feel bad for them for having to deal with people like you.
Okay, well, let's find out if that is indeed the case. I don't think I'm that bad, but first off, state your name and your position here on the Carpe Vita Explore Ventures liveaboard.
Okay, I'm Malo. I'm the dive leader on board.
Okay, dive leader. Do you like dive leader? You wouldn't want to go with dive master or dive, you know, master of ceremonies, grand poobah of diving. Have you ever thought about getting more creative with that title there?
Actually, I wish I were.
You wish you were?
Yeah, I wish I was a dive master.
Oh, you're not. Well, you're a dive instructor, aren't you?
Yeah.
But see, I'm a dive instructor as well. But I stick with the dive master thing because it's more impressive to the chicks. You feel me, right?
And also, I don't have to deal with people like you.
Yes. Well, okay. See.
Yes.
All right. Did Tony like bribe you before we started talking?
Not actually.
Not actually. Okay, that means yes. She gave him a free drink or something. But I don't know. As far as working in a place like this, I mean, this is paradise. Do you feel spoiled, or is this so, you know, day in and day out kind of thing that, well, you know, it's a job. How would you describe it for someone who doesn't do this kind of gig in the dive industry?
I mean, people who don't want to sit behind a desk. This is the job for them, and you don't actually feel like it's a job.
Yeah, see, I mean, especially when you have to deal with people like me, right?
Yeah, that's the part we don't like.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you really paid him off pretty well there, Tony.
I did, but you know what? When you're doing something that you love, you never really have to work another day in your life.
Amen, sister. I can relate to that. You know, we've been doing this little radio show for 14 years. It ain't a bad gig, what we have, but what you do, I mean, there is a lot of work to what you have to do because you have to make sure you cater to all the guests, you know, every whim and make sure they're comfortable and that kind of thing. And I'm sure that creates a long day here and there, I guess, right?
Yeah, of course.
But you love what you do, and how much of it is a social thing for you? Do you like meeting folks from the USA, from the UK, and all over the world that come to a place like the Maldives and dive, or could you do without that?
Part of it is meeting people. I mean, when we meet people, they're always happy because they're on their vacation.
Right.
It's like the fun part of them, not the... You're part of it.
Right. You know, I keep telling myself when I'm dealing with Mermaid Tony on these trips, you hear what I'm saying? That this is the fun side of Tony?
Yeah.
And it I don't know, Tony, what do you think?
No, my fun side's usually at home when I'm working with
you. Yes, exactly. Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It goes back to me. But what are you going to do? But so did you grow up here in the Maldives? And this is, I mean, you just slowly evolved into this position here on the boat or what?
No, I grew up in Maldives, and actually my whole family, they are all good swimmers, and that's how I started loving the sea.
So you were a good swimmer, and you decided, hey, why not get certified, or did you get the job and then go through the process, or what? How did that come to be?
Actually, before I wanted to play soccer, but I found out that I couldn't play anything which involves a ball. So I knew that I could do anything in the water.
Okay, so you didn't like playing with balls, yeah. And you decided that the next best thing would be just jumping in the water and swimming around and meeting folks.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the way you think. So what is the one thing as a dive leader here on the Carpe Vita that you personally get excited about when you see it underwater? Is there a particular critter that kind of, you know, tickles your fancy more than others, other than Mermaid Tony? Because I know she paid you to say that, right?
I think actually how when all plans work out well, when all the dives go on plan, that's how I like it.
So if everything executes the way that you guys set it up, plan, that is a perfect dive for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. So what about critters? Is there a particular animal, like a cuttlefish? You know, Nikolai in Hour 1 was talking about how he saw two cuttlefish get their freak on. Does that do anything for you?
That's actually our plan. We show everything.
Okay, so that is, you set that up as a plan for him to make his day, to mark off the list, that kind of thing. So that's what works for you. But what about critters? I mean, octopus, seahorses, this. I saw some crazy looking pipefish thing that I got a picture of that I had to take several pictures of it before I realized it really was an animal and not some just stick floating in the water. It was a critter. It was cool.
Actually, on each year it changes, and this year I would say ghost pipefishes.
Ghost pipefish. That's what worked for you.
Yeah,
got it. And as the dive leader, by the way, how did that happen when you got that position? Did everybody get on the boat and there was like a, you know, like a wrestling cage match kind of thing, and you came out on top?
No,
there was no competition. They just said, hey, you got the most skills, you look the part, let's put him in it, and he can keep everyone else in line. Is that kind of what works?
I think it was in my blood. So.
It was in your blood. Do you got to smack around the rest of the crew to keep them in line a little bit, too? Does that help?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and that's allowed here in the Maldives, right?
Not
capital punishment and all that stuff?
Not actually, it's allowed, but only for certain people.
Only for certain, like the guy sitting to your left, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah.
Because he seems pretty, he seems like he needs that discipline. He's what do you think, no? He's debating, like, if I say something bad, that means I'm going to have to be nicer to him later. This is almost like a Mermaid Tony Gregg dynamic going on over between these two, you think?
I think so, but I think he's been disciplined enough because he's the one who's been stuck with you and I most often out of any of the other dive masters this week.
Yeah, was that part of the plan as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so you stuck him with the troubled group, the twisted group. Okay, well, that's what they do here on the Carby Vita. You do a phenomenal job, and we really do appreciate your patience more than anything else. Okay, my friend?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tony, what do you think about this? Would you like this guy's job? Do you think you could be a dive leader here on this liveaboard?
I think I could, but, you know, I love my life in the Keys, too, though.
What do you think? Would she even have a shot? You've seen her dive, and that might be a question for him, but because he's kind of, yeah. You know, watched her a little closer in that regard. But what do you think? Do you think she could pull this off?
I think he would love it.
He would love it. Okay. But it still doesn't... well, you know what? Let's take a break, and we will find out next, because I have a feeling that we're going to get a different perspective from the guy who was watching us. That's up next here from the Maldives on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Okay, we are on the Explorer Ventures Carpi Vita liveaboard in the Maldives. Now, I'm with one of the other crew. First off, just state your name and your position. And by the way, for the record, he asked me before we went on, do I have to tell the truth? So he might make up something quite creative, or he may tell the truth. We won't ever know, but hit me.
Okay, my name is Hambe, and I work on Carpi Vita as a dive guide. For Wallo, as an assistant dive guide for Wallo.
Okay, assistant dive, you demoted yourself right there. Why would you do that? I would have kept with the full dive guide. You mean we got an assistant this week? We didn't get a full-fledged dive guide?
No, actually, I've been an assistant because of people like you come up on board, and it's really hard, difficult for Wallo to rule all the trip. Organize the trip. It's really hard for him, so I've been an assistant for him.
Right. Oh, okay. I got you. You're assisting him, and basically, this is it's like a hazing ceremony that you have to go through before you become full-fledged dive guide.
No, I think what he's saying is that because of you, he's having to work harder and pick up extra positions.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Okay. All right. Well, what are you going to do? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Actually, I get really tired.
My mistake!
All right, fair enough. Well, I'll ask you the same question. You know, working on a liveaboard like this in paradise, like the Maldives, what do you see underwater that really, you know, makes your day, that you go, wow, that works for me as well as everyone else? Because you see it every week. But is there one critter or one type of thing that works for you?
Mostly macros. When I see macros, I get really excited. If I see anything new in macro,
like a nudibranch type thing, huh?
Yeah. Nudibranch or a shrimp or a crab, which is really small that any other divers cannot see.
Yeah, okay, like me. You know, I have a problem seeing little small things.
Yeah.
I'm more of a big thing guy, I guess. But that's just me.
Actually, that's true. That because today I showed you a pipefish and you didn't recognize that. So
yeah, I was like, I don't have no idea what he's pointing at. There's a little thing in the water, but you know, I'm over 30. You hear what I'm saying? And the eyes start to go.
Whoa!
What?
Over 30?
Yeah.
That's an incredible understatement.
Damn that mermaid.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
The moment you tell Stanley that I have asthma, because I don't, if it gets out, they won't let me scuba. If I can't scuba, then what's this all been about? What am I working toward?
Take it on.
And we are here in the Maldives on the Carpe Vita liveaboard. And, you know, we're talking to the crew right now, a couple members of the crew. And I asked them both, what is it underwater that tickles their fancy? Nudibranchs, the other one likes, you know, the way that when the dives go well, that works for him. When he sees the smiles on these satisfied liveaboard passengers, that makes his day. And I totally understand that. But, you know, today, Mermaid Tony and I and myself literally marked something off the list. Now, you have one of those life lists, right? You know, something that you want to mark off before you die, right?
Yeah.
And you know what was on mine is a whale shark, swimming with a whale shark. And we did that today, didn't we, Tony?
We swam with a whale shark. Not just one, but we actually, throughout the entire day, had five.
Five whale sharks. And that's why I'm shocked. I understand you like the nudibranch thing, and nudibranchs, and watching those. Or nudibranches. Is that what you want to say, nudibranch?
Nudibranches, flatworms, crabs.
So nudibranch, is that, am I saying it wrong?
I just prefer saying nudies, but that's me.
Oh, you are sick mermaid. But anyway, but are you jaded on the whale sharks? Or I mean, could you see them every week or what?
No, everything big is possible for every diver. So, but everything small isn't possible for every diver. So,
So you just like the uniqueness of it, that you're one of the only people that can find them or see them.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, but I got to say, there was that one time when I was on one side of the whale shark, you were on the other side. I look over, and I'm just like, you know, 2 minutes swimming with this whale shark. That's like, you know, 20, 30 feet long, and I'm looking over at you on the other side, and I just give you the, hey, man, this is amazing. That was a sweet moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a sweet moment, actually. And when the guests are happy, it's a sweet moment for us, too. But for me, depending on the whale shark, I'll say, like, if it's more than two all together, it's really amazing.
Yeah, but well, we didn't have two together, but we had one pass, and then we were on the surface after our first encounter with the whale shark, and we, you know, Tony was practicing her free diving skills. I was futzing around with my camera a little bit. What?
No, it's just funny because you.
Everybody's laughing at me. What did I say? What did I say?
Well, you were supposed to be filming me doing this crazy bubble ring trick, and I'm coming up, and I'm about 4 feet below the surface, and I look behind you, and the whale shark's about to eat you. It's like 4 feet, not even, 3-4 feet behind you, its
right.
Mouth is. And I start underwater, and I hit the surface. I'm like, Craig,
turn around.
Whale shark. And I'm already down underwater and gone, and you don't believe me at all.
Right, yeah, I look at her like, yeah, like I'm going to fall for that gag. And sure enough, I turn around, and there's the whale shark. For the one time in history where Mermaid Tony was actually telling me the truth, I didn't believe her. But I did get some nice footage and a picture or two. So it was nice, wasn't it?
It was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Now, is that kind of experience happening literally every week here in the Maldives with you guys? I mean, are the whale sharks that common? Or is it a hit-or-miss kind of situation?
No, actually, it's really common in here. And mostly, and every year, we can see them. I mean, like, 1 week, we might miss them on a year. Other than that, we always see them.
Now, we have another day of diving. We have not seen... Well, no, I guess they did see a manta today. Or they saw, a mini manta? What was that? What did they call this thing? What was it?
It's a mobula manta.
A mobula manta. Mobula manta? What the hell does that mean? That's like mini-me, isn't it? For mantas?
I think so, but Chris is here, and he's kind of more the fish expert than either of us, so...
Chris, what do you think? What is a mobula manta? What is the right word? I don't know.
Mobula ray.
A mobula ray. So these are just smaller versions of manta?
Smaller. Yeah.
It's like, you know, the mini version of Snickers or Twix or something. It's like Snickers but smaller.
Okay, all right. So just a miniature version of a manta. They couldn't just go with baby manta because they're not baby mantas. They're different species.
Yeah, they are.
Are they common? Are these small mantas common as well?
It's not common, but still it's common. I mean.
Okay, all right. But the mantas, the giant mantas, they are seen fairly regularly here in this area as well. We just haven't. Maybe we're having an off week. We don't know, right? What, Tony?
I think the mantas in Fiji told them what you did to that one when you scared the out of it, and I think these ones were too afraid to come see you.
There's a rumor. There's a rumor that was started in Fiji.
It's true.
It's not true. Hey, have you heard this rumor? Have you heard about this manta rumor?
No.
Okay, Tony, go ahead and tell him. I'll go ahead and let everybody hear this again.
So, not only did he chase mantas in Fiji, but at one point...
Oh, no, I'm not chasing... I don't chase things. You haven't seen me chasing anything, have you?
I think you chased a few gray reefs, and I think she's telling the truth, though.
No. This is another one of those things where, remember you asked me if you're supposed to tell the truth, or doesn't... She's not. Trust me.
I was telling a story.
And remember what I just said. Trust me. Anyway.
Anyway, so... a manta comes up over a coral head at the same time as Greg, who had previously been chasing the mantas, comes up over a coral head, and they both stop and they see each other, and the manta completely just poops everywhere. He scared the poop out of the manta.
That's not right. That isn't really how it happened. He just happened to go at an inopportune time. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I believe on that. She's telling the lie.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. You're a good man. But those type of rumors, you know, she tries to perpetuate those things here in the Maldives and saying that could be why the mantas are staying away. But they're just here. We just haven't seen them, I guess. You know, it's like the luck of the draw, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, you just might. Oh, boy. She paid you guys off a lot to say these things, didn't she?
Should I tell the truth or the lie?
You know what? Let's just leave that out there. You know, I don't think I want to know. But as far as seeing the mantas, I mean, is it just something that you're cruising along and you guys happen to find them? Or I know there is one particular area or places they kind of congregate certain times of the year. Is that the thing or what?
Yeah, actually, that's the thing. They come on a certain time of the year in the certain areas for cleaning, for feeding. In certain areas.
Yep. So it just depends and where we happen to be. If they're in that particular area, where you get them or you don't. Who knows? We might see them tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, it depends on your luck for tomorrow. You might see them.
Right. And I know there's another site that we actually got rained out, or I don't remember what happened exactly, but we missed this hammerhead shark dive. Early in the morning they come in because of the tides and there's a big school of hammerheads? Is that what's going on or what?
Yeah, actually, I think it's because they don't like the light. They don't usually come too shallow during the daytime. So here in Maldives, what we do is we do early morning dive when there's not enough sunlight. They usually hang around in shallow depths, meaning like around 70 to 80 feet. They go in schools.
Nice. How big of schools are we talking here of hammerheads? Like hundreds or, you know, what, 20, 30? What do you think?
Actually, we've seen 40s. I mean, 40 of hammerheads. Okay. But usually, it's 5 or 3.
Nice. Well, hey, any hammerhead's better than none. That's for sure. I got to tell you. And, you know, and I've made a lot of comparisons to my trip in the Galapagos. To this trip, and I love it because the water is a hell of a lot warmer here, and I love that aspect of it. But I'm seeing all the critters or a lot of the same animals that I've seen in the Galapagos. Have you gotten that from past customers as well? Do they make any comparisons to other places in the world to this type of diving? Have you heard that back from anybody on a consistent basis?
Yeah, a few of them come up and comment like that. I mean, they say our water is warmer than the other countries, but we don't have much fish life or something like that's come up sometimes. But mostly they always say our water is warmer than the other countries.
Yeah, and so when you hear that, does that make you think that I just want to keep diving here? Or is there a part of you that wants to go out there and experience some of this stuff as well? Like, have you been outside the Maldives at all?
Yeah, I just once went to Thailand for diving, and it was like, okay, but not good as is here.
Yeah. So he's like, all right, there's no place like home.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, exactly. I don't blame you. If I lived here, I don't think I'd want to leave either, for sure. Tony, what do you think? You still hooked on the Keys, or are you thinking maybe this might be a second home or a regular vacation destination?
Definitely a regular vacation destination. You know, there's a lot of good things about home, but here the diving has been just incredible. And one of my favorite things is all the bait balls and the huge schools of fish everywhere. So, I mean, the fish life, it's unbeatable.
Yeah, the bait balls are phenomenal. I got that grouper on film. Taking a bite out of this fish or taking a fish out of a big bait ball. It was like a Discovery Channel moment. And you know what? I would put it to the fact that it was me taking the video, of course. I would take all the credit. But I guess I'm going to have to give some of it to the Maldives, you think?
Maybe a little bit, but you did say you missed that pristine moment. It was at the very top of the image cut out of the picture. Oh, shark farts.
Well, thanks for pointing that out.
Dive Master's sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
Wow, infotainment.
We're lost children of the sea.
All right, that's Ronnie James Dio. God rest his soul. He is from London, I believe, or the UK at least, and that's where we flew through on our way to the Maldives. And we have we had two or three nights on the front and the same on the backside to kind of break up the 10-hour flights that we're flying through to get to the Maldives, and had a nice little visit with your family. They were really great. I got to thank them for the hospitality, Tony. I don't know where that whole camaraderie type thing happened with you, because I don't quite feel that from you all the time, but they were really nice. Maybe it was just because it was a limited time frame, you think?
It might have been, but they probably showed you a lot more hospitality than you deserved, considering all you did was keep comparing their country to Harry Potter.
Well, that was my only reference to that part of the world. I'd never been to London, I've never been to the UK, and the Harry Potter movies, J.K. Rowling, she used that backdrop for inspiration for the film. So I just assumed it looked like that a little bit. You know, and you know, we have Universal in Orlando where we're based out of. I kind of figured it might be like walking down the street of the shops and things there in London, but I guess it's not quite like that. They found that humorous, and but I was right when we toured Oxford. We came across some Christchurch place, and what is Christchurch? Isn't that what it's called?
That is what it's called, and you were right. You're like, oh, that looks like the dining hall from Harry Potter.
And I was right.
You were right about
that. The guy
that
on the big bus, the double-decker bus, said that's where they had filmed the Great Hall scene from Harry Potter, or you used that for inspiration or something for that Great Hall thing with the floating candles.
You're right, but what was not right was for you to exclaim that the gentleman walking down the street of Oxford that was wearing a cape must be a wizard because he's wearing a cloak. That was not appropriate.
Mental, that one. I'm telling you.
Well, yeah, but there were sticks laying on the ground, and they could have been wands. How would we know?
You sound insane. Do you realize that?
In that part of the movie where the Muggles don't know the real truth anyway. Now, Claire's from London. Does this make you mad that I'm comparing London to Harry Potter, or that's my only reference there, Claire?
It could be worse. You're at least using a British film as a comparison.
I think it sucks.
The Harry Potter movies have made millions. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, always.
Oh, I'm so funny.
Fair enough. We'll just leave it at that. And maybe I was a little off base, but we'll find out on the way back through when we actually visit the downtown area of London. We've already done the outskirts, which I thought was quite fun. And now we can actually go down there and have some fun in the city and see what it's like. Claire, what do you think? Is there any diving in London I need to look out for, too? Or should I just hang out and enjoy the sights in the city?
Well, you could always go see the London Aquarium if you're feeling homesick for the Maldives.
Well, they got this River Thames, or what is it?
River Thames.
Yeah, River Thames. Can you dive in that, or would you not want to?
You really would not want to go.
What might you see in the River Thames? Like dead bodies and, you know, firearms and things like that? Kind of like what you would see off the coast of New York City and Jersey?
I've never read it that closely at the water off the coast of New York City and Jersey, but it's pretty filthy. You wouldn't want to go in there.
Yeah, but is that the same kind of thing for the Thames, or is it, or what? What's the waterway like?
What's a big river going right through the middle?
It's a big river. It's way too cold to dive. That's the bottom line, right?
Yep.
Any of this getting through to your son?
Tony?
Hazardous means swans, so you might want to be careful, though.
Swan. Oh, yeah, that's right. We saw the swans, right? So if you were diving, they might attack. What is so funny? What are you laughing at now?
I was making the angry swan sound, and Heather found it quite amusing, apparently.
You know, it's interesting because it's similar to that sound those red-toothed triggerfish make underwater when you press their tail, touch their tail, isn't it? How's it go?
Which one? The red-toothed triggers or the swans?
Well, we'll make the triggerfish sound first. All right, and now make the swan sound. Okay, I guess they are slightly different.
I think I get the point.
Wow. You know, some things you just can't script. You know what I'm saying? What do you think of this stuff, Chris?
Oh, gosh. I don't know where to even start.
Really? You know, all you can say is at least there's one thing that the Maldives have that is universal around the world, and that is good booze.
Beer. I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
No, I said booze. I did not say milk bags, Norbert.
No problem. I mean, it's your problem.
Well, thank you. It always ends up being my problem in the end. You hear what I'm saying?
I mean, this is what you are thinking about, you know? I mean, this is your problem.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
Well, any last thoughts on the Maldives, though? As we wrap things up here, Norbert, the whale shark, what has stood out as far as the thing that you've liked so much about diving here in the Maldives on the Carpe Vita?
I mean, they are pretty slow. I mean, like we did outrun them, yes?
Excuse me? I mean, like, who's pretty slow? Who's he talking about, Tony?
We were better than them, yeah?
You're better than who? Who are you talking about?
Shark. I mean, like, we did it.
the whale sharks are slow. I thought you were making some comment about Tony or something.
No.
That she was slow or what?
She's fast enough.
She's fast. She's too fast.
Is that why you were huffing and puffing about 50 yards behind the whale shark while I was keeping up with it today?
No, I was staying up with the whale shark. We were swimming along the whale shark. It was a good workout. I was just trying to, you know, get the blood pumping just a little bit. Heartbeat, you know, making a good workout.
So I give you my triggerfish impression and my swan impression. Here's the Greg impression.
Oh, gnarly!
That was you trying to catch up to the whale shark.
Okay. I got nothing. What can you say to that? But, you know, it's all about sharing those first-time experiences here in the Maldives and having a great time. And obviously we are. And this should be you. All you have to do is go to exploreadventures.com and book your adventure today.
Let's go while we're young.
All right, that'll do it for this week. Remember, it's always better where, Tony?
Down where it's wetter.
Good diving, everybody.
Greg, that was the triggerfish, right?
Yeah.
Each little snail, you know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in love here. Now we get more under the sea.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.